Chapter 4. Popes Pray. Popes pray, and so do you, most likely. You talk to God, you thank Him for what you have, ask Him for blessings and graces, tell Him what you're thinking about, say, "Please help me." When you say this, you feel weak and strong, alone and accompanied by armies. No one knows the power of prayer but God, of course, but John Paul's life reflected a certitude as to that power. He was praying all the time, and his prayer is said to have consisted largely of simply being with God, speaking to Him interiorly and saying, "Yes," which, as Dostoevsky said, is what every good prayer is. The Pope's prayer life changed over the years. Those who knew him in his later years, when pressed to guess, said they believed he prayed 7 or 8 hours a day, or more. He defined prayer as, quote, "a conversation" and, quote, "a contact with God." When he was young, his prayer consisted mostly of giving thanks and declaring his love. He told his biographer, Tad Schultz, "A prayer of supplication seemed to be something unworthy. Asking for things seemed too small. But as he grew older, he changed his mind. He said, 'Today I ask for very much.'" He often lost himself in prayer. The Pope's longtime press aide, Dr. Joaquin Navarro Valls, a psychiatrist and the head of the Holy See Press Office, told me, "We were to have lunch one day, and as usual, John Paul goes from his studio to the dining room, and he passes the chapel. He always keeps the doors of the chapel open. He does this so Christ is filling the whole house, though you don't have to say that. So one day we are together, and we pass the chapel, as always, and he went in for a moment to pray. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 12 minutes pass, and eventually he looks toward me and he says, 'Oh, I forgot you were here.'" Navarro Valls laughed when he told me that story. He said the fact that the Pope so lost himself in prayer said a great deal about the depth of his prayer life. He offered another story, quite similar. One night he was to meet the Pope in the papal apartment for dinner at 7:30. Navarro Valls arrived early. He walked toward the chapel and went inside, where he saw the Pope by himself. The minutes went by. Finally, at 8 o'clock, the Pope rose to leave. Only then did he become aware of his press aide. "It is something that he needs to be there," Navarro Valls told me. He said, "When you see him there, you feel a kind of lightening or even a giddiness." Navarro Valls told of how he came upon John Paul singing one day by himself in front of the tabernacle. "It is as St. Augustine said," Navarro Valls said, "singing is praying twice." Losing himself in prayer happened when the Pope was outside the Vatican, too. Quote, "On some occasions, walking and hiking in the mountains, I would be with him, and from time to time I would hear a word, always in Polish. But what I understand is a word relating to a country. His prayer," said Navarro Valls, "has geographical dimensions. He is praying for a country that has a war or a famine or want." Every day, John Paul celebrated Mass at dawn in the chapel in his Vatican apartment. And the Mass did not begin unless he had before him his list of the people and things he had been asked to pray for. The author and editor, Richard John Newhouse, was sometimes there with him at these times and later in the evening. He told me, "One thing you find out, being with the Pope, you see the times that are spent in prayer. Before and after meals and so forth, one of the most consistently moving to me is that usually after dinner, he'll go to his chapel and he kneels before the Blessed Sacrament. Now, this is his private chapel, just off his private rooms. It's very modest. He lives very modestly. And he kneels at his wooden kneeler, and then you kneel behind him in one of the small number of pews, and he often opens up the top of his kneeler, and it's just filled, it's overflowing, with notes people have sent him or given him at audiences. They are prayer requests for everything under the sun. And he just kind of picks them up one after another, and he rifles through them, so to speak." John Paul then prayed for the things people had asked for, a cure for a relative's illness or help in finding the right career. Father Newhouse told me, "You have this overwhelming sense of just how much the requests mean to him. He prays on specific and concrete human circumstances." He also prayed for the church. Father Newhouse told me, when you consider the church and its adversaries and all its cultures and so forth, places that the New York Times doesn't deign to notice, places and people that are just a constant source of prayer and anxiety. Africa, for instance, the Pope has a powerful sense of the tragedy of Africa as being forgotten in the modern world. Nobody cares about Africa. Father Newhouse told me the Pope felt the world was, quote, callous toward that continent, and so he prayed for it mightily. Father Newhouse said he just kneels there and he just opens up that lid and he leaps through. He prayerfully soldiers through all of these worries in this church. Others have reported a mystical dimension to the Pope's prayer life. John Paul's aides had reported finding him at times lying face down on the floor of his chapel, arms outstretched like Christ on the cross. The Polish communist government years ago noted what it called his mystical nature, and the psychological profile the CIA prepared on him in the 1970s spoke of John Paul's mystical essence. When asked by a journalist 10 years ago how he prays and exactly what he says, the Pope was both playful and serious. He said, "You would have to ask the Holy Spirit. The Pope prays as the Holy Spirit permits him to pray." Then he suggested he prays to be a better Pope. And then he said he prays about this, the joy and the hope, the grief and the anguish of the people of our time. I tried to imagine, after talking to these men, what the Pope looked like when he was praying, what his face looked like. I mentioned this to a friend, an ardent Catholic, who replied with a sort of puzzlement. He said, "But you've seen it. That look he gets when he's seated at the altar in a big outdoor mass somewhere. His eyes are closed and shut tight, and he mutters or winces. He's praying then. He is in his interior world of prayer at that time. Everybody's seen it. He's shown it."